as we preach and as we teach in today's service. Thank you that all things are working together for our good in our quest to say yes to your will and to fulfill your plan on the earth. We thank you that as we study in tonight's session, every shackle that holds us from seeing clearly and walking in your will clearly, they are taking off our parts in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Somebody excited to be here? Are you excited to be here? You should be excited to be here. You should be excited to be here. Can everyone hear me loud and clear? Am I very clear? No interruptions. Okay. All right. So we're moving quick into today's study. And tonight we're going to be looking at seven things you must prepare for in the gospel. Seven things you must prepare for in the gospel. So this is almost going to be like a preparation for ahead of us as a people and as people God has called us and anointed us for his will in these days. We're going to be looking at seven things you must prepare for in the gospel. So oftentimes people will take preparations lightly, and at the end, they get to be shocked after they encounter the very thing they should have been prepared for. So, there's a need for diligent preparation in whatever it is that you're doing. Have you realized, even sometimes, in taking far journeys, it's always safer to make preparations before, right? You know, you probably might leave a very important, you know, asset that you'll be needing in that journey. And so oftentimes it's safer, you know, to start looking into the realities of where you're going, what you're doing, what demands are made as you make that journey, right? So oftentimes people are very realistic about the demands of the journey they choose to take. So you get to realize that sometimes they do not make adequate preparations for the journeys that they have ahead of them. You know, and then imagine you going to a place and then there's no sponge and towel and soap, and you left yours at home. I know some of you don't have that problem. I mean, you go to a place and there's no towel, sponge and soap. You don't even care. You're just okay. I mean, you're an all-weather kind of fellow. But to the one who cherishes bathing, and cherishes, you know, taking a shower every single day, it means a lot to them. Say, oh, Masa, we went to a boys' school, so we are already fine. Please. Not everybody went to a boys' school. And so, leaving your towel and sponge and things at home is a big deal for some, you know. Maybe some guys, you left the boxer at home, they say, Masa, you wear the trouser like that. No. It's a big deal for some. So oftentimes you do not prepare, you know. Pomade's left behind. And there is one very skillful guy who has no problem that his pomade has been left behind. In fact, he's all white and he sees nothing wrong with it. But that's a serious thing for someone who never made preparations for their journey. So that's what you become. You become a victim, you know, when you make preparations or when you do not make preparations for a journey. So I was getting ready for evangelism. We're going to go for evangelism. And, you know, the rain quite disrupted our going. And so I just had this intuition in my heart to touch on very important, you know, subject that we must know. Amen. So it'll interest you to know that there's room for preparation in everything. There's room for preparation in exams. There's room for preparation when you're going for a football match. There's room for preparation before you do anything tangible that gets the attention of men. There is room for preparation. So, oftentimes, we miss out on becoming what God has called us to become when we do not effectively prepare. You know, there's an interesting thing I discovered, and, you know, about Usain Bolt on his journey to becoming one of the greatest athletes of all time, right? It was not an easy experience. But, you know, people said it took him about 4 years of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to run 9 seconds to break records. You know what 4 years is? No, 365 plus 365 plus 365 plus 365. It took him 1,460 days of consistent study, of consistent training, of consistent mentoring. Now, it's not just 1,040 days, 1,460 of those, day and night in that day. So, you wonder, he's taking 4 years of his life, and every day he wakes up in the morning, obviously he's keeping up on his diet, most definitely, because you can't eat just everything and be an effective athlete. So, it's taking him 4 years, 1,460 days, counting from 1,460 to 1,459 and down to a zero number of days to prepare for something that you'll only take in 9 seconds. So he was hardworking, dedicated, perseverance to run a 9 second journey. 9 seconds. 9 seconds. He was that dedicated for 4 years of his life for a 9 second journey. One of the greatest footballers of all time. I don't want to say he's the greatest so that anybody picks enemy with me. But Lionel Messi is, I saw a post and he says, it's taking 17 years of his life, 10 months and 8 days until he scored his first professional goal. First goal professionally. He had been on it for 17 years, 10 months, 8 days. It will amaze you to know how making preparation for a journey is important for what you will be doing for a lifetime. Let no man deceive you. Every journey that you set out on, there is need for effective preparation. Michael Jordan had several hours of workouts. It was said that he slept less than 5 hours a day. And some other writers said he almost never slept because of how dedicated he was to becoming the world champion. You know, I was reading a material and then they said, he said he only really took a short nap in the afternoon and at night. You know what a short nap is? It's like you just sleep shortly and you are back at what you should do. So instead of sleeping, he spends time training and training and training and training until he becomes the very best of what he could become. I mean, our own very wonderful footballer, Cristiano Ronaldo, right, is highly restricted on certain diets. He cannot take certain diets. In fact, I watched a I watched, somebody's laughing because I was saying Cristiano Ronaldo, a good footballer, and I ascribed somebody else, like one of the greatest of all times. But it's okay. But, you know, I watched a documentary where they said that they were asking his son, and, you know, they asked of his son if, where's Kwame? Shouldn't show his head here. You know, they were asking of his son, and he said, he said he doesn't become the world's greatest footballer. And they asked him why, and he says because his son drinks soda and Coca-Cola, and he doesn't think someone of a player of that caliber who likes to drink that and take a lot of sweets can become the best at what he's supposed to do. So I'm like, look at this mentality that he has. Somebody's got to be crazy. You know what it means not to take sugar? Just think about it. Think about it. You don't take anything sugar. In fact, today I've taken like 2 bottles of bitter malt. I'm already disqualified in a very nice way. I don't fit for that category. Do you see that? But there are several examples of men who had to make time preparing for something that they were going to do. And oftentimes the preparatory stages of our lives are probably the most significant of everything that we're going to be doing to the very end. Several examples in the Bible who prepared for giving Jesus is taking time for 30 years of his life to prepare for a 3-hour ministry course. So, if you took time to carefully look at all of these, you will get to realize that preparation is an art that can be learned. I mean, Jesus was the best example of someone who prepared for his mission. So, it can be learned. You can learn to know how to prepare. You can be taught to prepare for something. You can be taught to prepare. It's a skill, it's an art that can be taught. And that day, I'm going to be teaching you and talking to you about 7 things you must be prepared for in the gospel of Jesus. 7 things you must be prepared for. I'm going to be listening them out to you. We'll look at them expoundedly, and then we'll close. But don't put it in your mind that we're closing anytime soon. So, seven things that you must know, you must have, you must be prepared for in the gospel, right? So oftentimes the reasons why people do not like preparations is because it's time consuming, and many people try to avoid preparation. You know, it's easy to want to avoid preparation. It's easy not to want to go to training. It's easy not to want to be involved in whatever it needs and whatever demands that you are getting prepared for the gospel. So, preparation ready. Preparation is getting yourself ready for your ministry, Lord. Am I with you again? So preparation is getting yourself ready for your ministry in the Lord. And there is a point where you must take heed for preparation. There is a point where you must take heed for preparation. And if we're going to be serving the Lord Jesus in the gospel of His Son, there is that point where we must prepare. We must get on the quest to prepare. And as a people, at this point, we must be getting prepared. That's why I'm taking some time to teach you on this. You must be prepared. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 7. First Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. You should have a Bible. If not, that's already proof you are not being prepared. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all hearts, and then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve Him only. So, Samuel actually is a prophet, and he is giving out declarations, and he gives them certain things to do. Now, in this instruction, he tells the people, you must prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. In fact, he's telling them to put away the strange gods. The strange gods are not just idols, physical idols. But even translating it today could be anything in our hearts that prevents us from taking and towing this path of serving the Lord in the ministry. So he's telling them, you must prepare. What does it mean to prepare? What does it mean to prepare? Now, actually, the word prepare is a small word, very small word in Hebrew. It's a three-letter word, actually. It means to be firm. To be firm, that's the word prepare. So make firm in your hearts. It's also to make ready. It's the word kun. It's also to make ready. K-U-N. Also to make ready. So in preparation, you're going to be making ready. You're going to be what? Making ready. It's also the word to put together. So he's saying, put your hearts together. Make sure your hearts are knitted together in your position of serving Him. So there's a preparation of the heart, right? A preparation of the heart to serve Him. So to prepare is also to be firm. To make room for is to prepare. You know, oftentimes when visitors are coming, you know, to your house, there are certain times your parents will start to make room for. It's like they tell you, okay, please, the room is quite messy. And so you should clean up the place because we're going to be making room for so-so-and-so. So, so-so-and-so is coming home, and so we're going to be making room for so-so-and-so. So, you're going to be making room for someone else to stay in that house or to accommodate that person. So, you put together, you make room, you make ready, right? You are firm in your preparation. It's to be established firmly, be securely determined. That's to prepare, is to be securely determined, to fix upright. Actually, the picture connotes a statue that's standing straight. So in that statue standing straight, it's fixed upright. It's molded in a certain way where it stands upright. So it's also to arrange in order. So you are going to be firm. You're going to be making preparations to be firm. You're going to be making ready. You're going to be putting together. You're going to be stable, going to be firmly grounded, making room. You're going to be established. You're going to be securely determined. You're going to be fixed upright. You're going to arrange in order. It's also the word to be faithful, actually. So you're also going to be faithful in that business of serving the Lord and preparing your hearts to do what He's called you to do. So it's mentally to be firm, to assimilate. You understand it. You have a grasp of it. You have considered the pros and cons. You have considered the good and the bad. You have considered all of the interesting things that you can be given to, and then you make room for those things. So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 8, let's read verse 8 to 4. We read verse from verse chapter 7. Right? And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods. So you will put away the strange gods, the strange things that are distractions, and then you will prepare, you'll make firm, you'll make ready, you'll put together, you'll assemble in orderliness, you'll be established, you'll be securely determined, and serve Him only. Now let's look at verse 8 and 9. I'll show you something in verse 8 and 9. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistine. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. So again, there is Samuel giving an instruction, and then for a need for a preparation. The people's hearts are prepared. They make up their minds. They're going to follow the Lord. They cry out to the Lord in that preparation. Samuel offers a sucking lamb. Now watch what happens in verse 13 and in verse 14. He says, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Verse 14. And the cities which were the Philistines were taken from Israel, were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast therefore did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistine. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. So you get to realize that in that preparation, there was something that happened in that preparation. There was a war. After Samuel had told them to prepare their hearts, put away strange gods, suddenly there's an introduction of a war. In that preparedness of the message they were given, suddenly they are here to fight the people of the Philistines. So the first thing to do, or the number one thing to do, one of the things you must be prepared for in the gospel is that you are prepared for war. There will be war. There will be battles. Prepare for them. Prepare for them. There are going to be hindrances. I'm telling you, you are making room for, you are creating expectancies, right? You are opening your mind to the pros and cons, advantages, disadvantages it can come with, and you are getting ready. That's the mind, to be prepared for war. So the number one thing that you need to do in your preparation of the gospel or in the gospel is to be prepared for war. Is to prepare for war. Joel chapter 3 verse 9. Be prepared for war. Be prepared for war. A lot of things that I saw as visions are now coming to me in reality. I'm now seeing it. Many years ago, I saw it. I didn't really understand what it meant. But not many people know that there is a war that's ahead of us. There's a war. Joel chapter 3 verse 9. There's a war. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up to fight. In your preparation for the gospel, prepare for war. Prepare for war. You know, you could be a mighty soldier and a mighty army general and you are asleep. Listen, he says, wake up the mighty. Wake them up. Wake up the mighty men. Let all of these men that are mighty draw near. Let them come up. Because there is a war to be fought. You need to wake up. You need to be alert. You need to be sensitive on the fact that there is a battle that needs to be fought. Now, anybody who is ignorant of this battle is first not prepared for what he knows or what he should be prepared for. You know, oftentimes, I truly hate wars. You know, it's vicious, it's unfair, it's deadly, it leads to devastation, can bring sorrow, pain. You know, there'll be casualties, even in victories, there'll be losses. But listen, our abhorrence for secular wars cannot keep us from the reality or facing the realities of a spiritual war. The fact that we are not really interested in wars cannot keep us from facing a reality. It's a plain reality you must come to. Is that there is a war to fight. Tell somebody who just joined in. Tell them, are you aware there's a war to fight? Is one of the things you need to be prepared for in this gospel. Is one of the things. It's one of the main things that you must make preparations for in this gospel. Lest you will be killed out of this battle. So there is a war. Listen. I'm going to raise ceaseless, unrelenting, forever warring people who will shift back darkness unceasingly. And one of the things that I'm preparing you for is creating that mind that makes you understand that there is a war. So be prepared for a war. It's one of the things to be prepared for. As you prepare to be in the gospel, be prepared for war. Be prepared for war. Oftentimes, you know, when you read Joel chapter 3, right? Doesn't feel or sound like a good scripture to stay on. I mean, proclaim ye amongst the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Doesn't really seem like a good thing to hear. But look at Micah chapter 4 verse 1. It's actually the same prophecy, however, expatiated differently as they spoke by the Spirit. So you must be prepared for war. Somebody is asking, what's this war? I'll tell you what the war is. I'll tell you what it is. Micah chapter 4 verse 1 to 3. Listen. But in the last days, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways and we'll walk in his path. For the law shall go forth of Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So in Micah chapter 4 is a direct correlation with Joel chapter 3 verse 9. Is a direct correlation. People are trooping into the mountain of the Lord. But as we proclaim this message among the Gentiles, we must be prepared for a war. Be prepared for a war. Don't just think you're following God, the devil is excited about it. And he's always going to give you a pat in the back. Like, hey, you're doing so well. Wow. Is that your disciples? Oh, what a blessing you are. No, those are not going to be his words to you. Don't be deceived. Wow. Oh, you actually love to pray. Oh. Hey, wonderful. Oh, I wake you up to pray. I'll sponsor your prayer times. Right? Are these your disciples? Wow. Oh, such beautiful men you are raising. Oh, what a sign and a wonder that you are. Listen to me. If you think this is what he's going to be telling you, you are missing. When he sees that you're beginning to study, you're beginning to get serious about fulfilling the call of God, the war has begun. Are you listening? There are hindrances that will come from every side as you make preparations for the gospel. Listen, don't be chicken-hearted. Understand this. The moment you get into Christendom, the moment you're born again, the moment you're filled in the Holy Ghost, and you set out to fulfill this work of ministry, is a war. The war has begun. So it's a necessity to prepare for battle. As we preach to the Gentiles, and as the nations flow up onto the mountains of the hills of the Lord, and they shall come to hear of his statutes, in there is a preparation for a war. So we are to wake up mighty men. We are to wake up mighty men. Is that time where slander has to exit through the window? Is that time where you have to put away your excuses? Because remember, we are in that battle. We are in that battle. We are in that battle. Listen, in Joel chapter 3, verse 9, back to the scripture. He says, proclaim ye this amongst the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men draw near. Let them come up. He says, beat your plowshares into your swords and your prunings hooks into their spears. And now, let the weak say, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. So, we first understand that there is a preparation for a war. You have to get ready. You have to get ready. 2 Chronicles 17, 18. 2 Chronicles 17, 18. Get ready. You are in a war. Second Chronicles 17:18. You're in a fierce battle. It's a battle that decides your faith. It decides everything about eternity for you. There is a war. There is need for preparation for this war. And to stay in this war, you must be prepared to fight. And next him was Jehoshaphat. And with him were 104,000 ready, prepared for war. These were people who were prepared for war. He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah. And he set garrisons in the land. Because he knew that there were people that did not stand with them. So you have to prepare for a war. It's the first thing you have to prepare for in the gospel. The war of choosing to follow and to stay in Christ. You need to be prepared. You choose to follow and to stay in Christ. You need to choose. There's a war that causes you to have to choose. Now, some people are not good at choosing. You know, it's like they're not really sure. You are out of the battle already. A double man is unstable in all he does. James tells us that. So you have to be able to choose. There's a war. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. You think it's not a true concept? It is. It is. Oftentimes, you realize Paul makes references to Timothy and gives him certain military-related instructions. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. He gives him military-related instructions. He says, listen, but thou, O man of God, 11. But thou, O man of God. Now, listen to verse 12. Verse 12. But thou, O man of God, in verse 11, first phrase, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight of faith. No matter how you feel at times in this war, you must choose to stay in faith. That's where the real war is. To prepare to believe and to stay in Christ and to stay in the work of the ministry is a war. Be prepared to mentally fight. Don't be a weakling in this battle. Don't allow the enemy just give you a few words. You know, you're good for nothing. You can't amount to anything. And you're already chickening out. God, please. I'm good for nothing. I think my life is very useless. God, please. No. You've already lost the battle. It's a battle of choosing to stay amidst your flaws and wrongs. So you prepare to believe and to stay in Christ and to stay in the ministry. Preparation for the gospel is preparation for ministry. It's preparation for ministry. It's preparation to be a preacher, a teacher, a worker in the house of the Lord. It's preparation for ministry. So, you know, it's a war. Be prepared to mentally fight. The war of having friends leave you. The war of having people call you aimless. Say, this guy is not a serious guy. We're talking about something very important. He's talking about serving God and ministry. That's a war of having families respect you or reject you. That's the war. Say you say you are following God. You say you are following God. What's all of this God about? Can't you do something with your life? Can't you do something? Can't you leave this God thing? No. It's a war of having families reject you because there is a decision you have made to stay in the gospel. The war of having people call you aimless is a war. Be prepared to fight it. I fought it. I'm still fighting my wars. Be prepared to fight it. The war of combining academics with ministry. It's a war because it's a diligent work to do. It's easier to say, I'm not going to be doing ministry because I have so much to study. I'm not going to be doing ministry because I have this to happen. And also, I am not going to be studying because I have ministry. We don't want that, right? We want you to have a war, a combining strategy of combining academics and ministry. It's so important. So endeavor to fight this war. The war of combining work with ministry. Say, I now work in tallow oil. So you now work in tallow oil, so you don't come to church. You don't have anything to do with ministry. You have lost this war. It's first to understand that every other thing that fights against your walk with the Lord and your service in the ministry is a war. Is a war. You don't take wars lightly. You declare wars with wars. Some of you have to leave your jobs. Listen to me. Some of you have to leave your job so that you can fulfill ministry and find another job that helps you serve the Lord and that helps you also work together. We are not saying don't work. We are saying we can't have you working and not serving the Lord. So it's a war. It's a conscious battle. And some of you will have to combine ministry so well with the work that you do. Academics so well, the gospel that you preach. So it's a ceaseless battle to make sure that you are staying relevant for the Lord. It's a war. It's to understand this. And you prepare your hearts. You know that this thing, I'm already in a battle. A war of constantly putting your flesh under. You like to eat, you like to sleep, you like to drink. You're not married, but you are doing something outside the matrimonial home. No. No, don't be loose about this war that we fight. You must make preparations to fight this war. The war of staying in ministry where the Lord confirmed to you and put you. You know, some people are not, I get exhausted when I have people who don't know where they belong. It's very exhausting. In fact, I can't trust you with many or much. I can't. So it's a war of choosing to say, okay, these people don't have chairs yet, but still, I still choose to be with them. It's a war. I'm telling you, it's a war. Don't think it's just a natural thing. You just say, oh, no, it's just, I'm just trying to be around. No, no, no. We don't already, you see the messages I'm teaching you. I don't like people who are not soldiers fighting in the army. We don't want soldiers who are not fighting in the army, right? It's soldiers who are fighting in the army. Lest you be fighting a very loose battle. So it's a war of constantly putting your flesh under. A war of constantly staying in the ministry where the Lord has confirmed to you and to put you. There are certain times you want to have to do things on your own, but it's a war you have to fight on your own. Have this in mind. There is a war. And the glory of this is that this war is already won. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. Behold, he's made us tremble over serpents and scorpions. And by any means we shall not be hurt. We'll trample on their heads. So you must be prepared to know that you are in a war that has already been won. And so you will make preparations for this war. Make preparations for this war. Make preparations for this war. You have people say you are like this, you are like that, you have changed, you are this. Now you don't have time to chill with us. You don't have time to enjoy with us. When we call you, you say you are calling disciple. When we call you, say you are praying with somebody. It's a war. Tell them, hey, 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 we're in a war. That's the war we are fighting. That's the war we are fighting. That's the mentality of what we fight. We are in a war. We are soldiers. And you know what he tells 1 Timothy? Timothy, in 1 Timothy, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, but thou, O man of God, but thou, O man of God, fight is a war. Fight is a fight. So you have this, that it's a war. And in this war, don't lose out your focus. The second preparation to make in the gospel is this, right? Let me stay more on the war for a while. Have this mentality. You know, oftentimes, you must be hard-headed to walk in God's true plan. Because you will have every reason not to. You will have every reason not to. I have kids. Now I have 3 kids. So I've left the ministry for them. It's now they are the ones doing. We are now just there and observe. Please. You got out of the war too early. See, I've not. No, you got out of the war too early. Don't forget there's a war. Be prepared to fight. Right? Be prepared to fight. Don't just be around and be weak. And people just say, please, I'm leaving you. You say, I can't take this broken heart any longer. I can't serve God without you. I'm leaving. Please, do you? Some of you don't know the mentality I have. I pray you get it too. It's very strong by God's grace. The way you see me, quiet, lanky, very calm. I have a very difficult mentality. It's unstoppable. You know how many is unstoppable? My head is very hard. I might not look like it, but my head is very... When I set my eyes on a goal, I'll get it. There is no anointing by God's special grace that I desired that I'm not seeing and walking in them. Because I'm hard. I'm hard by God's grace. Because I know it's a war. And I'm prepared to fight every time in this war. When I knew it was a war for my life. When I got to Kumasi some time ago, I knew it was a war for my prayer life. Because in that house, I lived in a very fancy house. You can't pray. I said, no, not my. I have a mentality for battle. I'll go out. I walk through Santasi. I walk through Atasimanzo. I walk through Adas. 2 hours till this morning. Then I go back home. I knew I had to fight this battle. There was a time I was getting ready to go to Rhema Bible School. And I'll go out, go and pray. Go to the field. And there was a time I had my luggages with me. I had my Rhema ID card. And oftentimes, we are warned not to misplace our ID cards. We are warned. You know, because misplacing your ID cards could just tell them you're careless. And so you don't need to be in the school. I studied in a very strict school. And so, I mean, Bible school. So, I got in there and I had my ID cards together with my Bible, together with my power bank, together with my some other important stuff in the bag. So I said, let me put my bag somewhere so that I could just stroll around and then pray and then later on come for my bag. So while walking on the streets, I had a certain I used to go. This is just about a year or two ago or something. I had a street I used to go to the field. I knew it was a war. I was not ready to back down. So I got in there, dropped my bag. I went back, came. Somebody had stolen my bag. And the only thing the person left behind was my Rhema ID. That was what he left. That was the only thing he left behind. That was how I got back into Rhema. That was the only thing he left behind outside. My head is... If I share some of the things I do, but I'm I'm strong. I'm that resolute on my decisions because I understand that it's a war. Are you listening? It's a war. The moment you make up your mind that this war is not really a war I want to fight, ministry, you know, I'm okay without it. I'm fine. You know, I'll just be cruising and enjoying myself. Please, please, you have already lost that mentality of the fact that you're in a battle. So make preparations for this war. Don't chicken out. There were times of my life I could have literally cried. Like I could have put my head on the table and cry and cry. There's no time of my life like that. There's no time of my life like that. 30 minutes left, should create another. There's no time of where I put my head and I said, God, I cry. Hey, God. No. My mentality is strong. Very strong mind. Because I'm that strong in my mind. Because I understand that is a war. Are you listening? So your disciples that you are teaching, it's like they are not listening to you. It's a war. Listen to me. It's a war. You go back to pray for them. You understand that this thing is a war. There are times I didn't have money. At times I sat in a car, didn't have money. I turned back, look at the side. There was money hidden at the chair. Where did it come from? It's a mentality that believes God in this war. So you get to understand that people who is checking out on their battles have not made preparations for this gospel. They have not made preparations for this gospel. They think it's a roller coaster ride. Like, hey, we're going up. The roller coaster, then they come down. Then, hey, it's an interesting scene. No, there are times you have to lay down certain things because you understand that it's a battle. So, know that it's a war. Are you listening? Know that it's a war. Know that you are fighting a battle. This work of the ministry the Lord has called you into is a battleground. Don't chicken out. Don't allow the issues of life take you out of the call of ministry. It's a war. Make sure you are standing and you are resolute in fighting out this battle. Second preparations to make is to prepare for hard times. Is the second preparation to make for the gospel. You know, oftentimes, people have painted the gospel very wonderfully. It's like it's all rosy. And it's to be in. It's a wonderful thing to know. There are no sacrifices. There are no struggles. It's just smooth and smooth. Oh, and smooth. Oh, hey, every praise is to our God. It's all smooth. Ah, it's all smooth. Wonderfully smooth. Amazingly smooth. Oh, I didn't know. It's very smooth. Oh, no bumps in this journey. I'm just moving. Oh, what a smooth journey. Listen to me. Listen, take it from me. Take it from me. There are going to be hard times in this gospel that you choose to stand in. The people of God. Are you listening? There will be difficulties. There will be challenging times of your faith. Times where you stand and it feels like you really are not doing anything for the Lord. They are going to be come ahead of you. But what is challenge to a soldier? No, eat them as bread. Whenever a challenge gets up, be ready to eat some bread some more. Are you listening? So you get to understand that there will be difficulties. There will be challenges. There will be pain, right? Of people doing things to hurt you. But prepare for these things. Prepare for these things. Prepare for these things. Listen, hard times come to all and are going to come to all. There are people who are going to experience hard times. They come to everybody. Life comes in seasons. You must be like the ant that prepares for the hard time. Prepare for the hard time. Prepare for the hard time. You face obstacles. Be prepared for them. Don't get into the ministry or don't get into your preparation of the gospel or preparing for the gospel in the ministry and feel it's an all smooth, interesting journey. No. So, right? In making preparations, you are looking out for the pros and cons. What can happen? What can happen? Eh? What if you got to realize you'll never drive a car again if you served that? Have you thought about it? Me, I've thought about it. I one day went out, I saw my dad's car. He gave me the keys. He gave me the keys. He said, go and pick something for me. I went out, I pressed the car. It was blinking. I said, wow, what an amazing car. Then my heart just stood up strong. I said, hey, no, I can't be enticed by this because I don't know if I'll drive one or not. I can't be enticed. If our will is not a problem to me, I can't be enticed. I will not be enticed. I won't be enticed. People of God, I'm teaching you how to have everything, and yet still your heart is not involved in those things. I'm teaching you how. I'm teaching you how. So prepare for hard times ahead of you. Say, I have to work for so-and-so hours. Now I don't even get to follow God again. Please, you are making noise. You are making noise. I told you I work for close to 12 hours standing. I've said this quite a number of times. You are not the first person to work for 8 hours and not have time to do what God has called you to do. Are you listening to me? These are all mentalities of hard-minded people. Please don't give me that excuse. When I come back, I'm tired. Train yourself not to be tired. Train yourself not to be tired. So you prepare for hard times. It's the second thing you need to do for the gospel. You have obstacles. You know, one of the days I closed from evangelism, it was late on a Saturday. Okay, I'm not too sure if it was a Saturday, but I closed late at night and I was coming home. And I saw an interesting scene. I don't know, I had my phone lights on or something. And I saw a line of ants. I said, hey, what's this? I saw a line of plenty, many ants. So I said, they were all in a line. They were moving. So I showed my light on them. I mean, I reflected my light towards the direction. And I saw some of them picking some things and carrying them in the same line. So I said, okay, let me follow the line to see where these guys are carrying these things to, because I want to know. I mean, you have a long line from a distance. They were at night, from a distance, they were moving. I said, okay, let me follow. Let me get to see what these people are doing. So I followed from that place to my house. The line was not ending. I tried to follow just a little bit. I said, this thing, if I follow it, I might appear somewhere. So let me just go back home. I just got into my house and I got there thinking, oh, these guys are preparing. Do you see something? They are preparing. They can see ahead of them that there is a storm. There is a rain. There are seasons like this that will come. And so we are making preparations. So everyone that needs to be in the gospel needs to start preparing while it's night. Build up strong convictions. Prepare that there is a war. Prepare that you'll be in the ministry. Come what may, you'll forever be in it. It's not like it's a fair weather thing. I'm just in the ministry while I'm still on campus, and I still pray because there's prayer, because there's so and so, because please, there is nothing like that. So, you must be prepared for hard times. Are you listening to me? Like the ants, make preparations for times ahead of you. The first preparation that you must make is what? Prepare for war. Second preparation, prepare for hard times. In fact, the ant race is known to have been the most successful species in several millions of years. Yeah, most successful species in several millions of years. I mean, I mean, millions of times, there are 1.5 million of times, a lot in number than humans, and they have been the most successful. They are thriving everywhere. Their species never growing extinct. You know, look at our brother hippopotamus and dinosaurs and all those things. Some don't even believe dinosaurs existed. Some also say they existed. They're not making preparations. That's how extinct, when you're not making preparations. Even lions, you can't find lions nowadays everywhere. Lions are kings of the jungle. We call them and we know them. So you need to make preparations. Prepare for hard times. Right? Philippians chapter 4 verse 12. I'll show you some of the things that you need to prepare for in hard times. Just a few things. Philippians chapter 4 verse 12. Philippians chapter 4 verse 12. I know both. Okay, so let's start reading from around verse 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatever state I am, the way to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Do you understand? Paul has made preparations for hard times. He says he knows how to abase and abound. Some of you, when you have money, the Lord is good, I will lift him up higher. Everywhere I go, I will lift him up higher. Hey, then you're enjoying yourself. It's like the whole thing is so nice. The Lord is good, I will lift him up higher. Your whole day is great. Your whole week is great. Your whole day is wonderful. It's like you are bubbling. You're just sparkling. You're enjoying the whole day. You're enjoying the whole week. Then a week comes again. But God, you said your word, just more abasing that you are in. You are already, please, God, you can't forsake me. I mean, it's just a week you didn't have money on you. It's just 1 week. And God has failed me. God has failed me. God has failed me. God, where are you? God, I don't believe you are real. God, if you are real, give me 100 million Ghana cedis. 100 million Ghana. Won't you work to at least get something? You should go and work. God does not give 100 million Ghana cedis to somebody who is not working. So you find a job, right? Work hard. Do you understand? That's how to do it. God, if you know you are God of Almighty, you are God of all Jesus, you are God of all Muhammad, please, God. No. You are not learning the skill of abasing and abounding. See, God of all mobile money, God of all Stanbic Bank, God of all Zenith Bank, God, show yourself strong. I mean, just 2 days, you were just not amazing. No, it's getting prepared. Are you listening to me? So you will get prepared. Now, that's not to say you're not going to be using your faith. That's not to say that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there are some people that easily throw out the towel. Even in God's provision to give, they don't believe it. They don't even believe it. The moment something happens, you know what Paul went through? How many times he suffered shipwreck? How many times he was lashed? How many times he got hungry? And yet still, he stood firm. So you get to understand that in your preparation for the gospel, there are going to be hard times. But you know something? When the enemy comes in like a flood, God always lifts up a standard against him. And you will always stay afloat. Now, part of staying afloat is that you will be unresolute. The convictions that you have set your heart on. Prepare for this. Prepare, just understand it. Hard times, your parents will say, "Why? What's it about this ministry? What's it about this ministry? What's it about, what do you call it? These small, small boys that have come. Christ what? I mean, you should stay in so-and-so church. Or stay in the club and disco jams ministries. What is it about ministry? What's it about this thing? What's it about this thing? What's it about?" You say, please, in this gospel, we don't just fight this fight anywhere. We don't fight this fight anywhere. We don't fight this fight anywhere. We don't just go in as a soldier. Have you seen a soldier in green, you know, in AK-47, going to somewhere, a soldier with a cutlass? I mean, we don't fight these battles everywhere. You fight them in specific places where you'll be equipped with the right weapons to fight the battle. So you prepare to abase and bound in hard times. Prepare to never look back. Luke 9:62. Luke 9:62. Please, you should have your Bibles. I could switch to my phone, but I still take the pain of flipping on to them. Luke 9:62. "And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom." Put your hand to the plough and then you are looking back. Say, "Oh, my friend, my friend I was working with, he doesn't really, really serve God like that. He got a deal. It's not any bad thing. It's just some small twistings that you do and then you can make a few hundred of dollars every week. And please, I'm considering, please, you are looking back. You are looking back in your preparation for the gospel. Once you put your hand to the plow, don't look back again. Don't look back again. You know what it means for Lot's wife to look back? She looks back into Sodom, into those things that were wrong, into those things that the Lord detested, those things the Lord is trying to save her from. That's what she looks back with pain. No, don't look back. Once your hands get to the plow, don't look back. Listen to me, God speaking to you. Don't look back. Because looking back will distract you. Looking back at the things that you should really do will distract you. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look at those friends and look back. Don't have a mentality that keeps looking on the side, keeps looking on the back, keeps. Don't look back. Are you listening to me? So prepare to hate all that stands against the gospel. Luke 14:26. Prepare for all that stands against the gospel. Listen, the is going to be ending in a few minutes. When it ends, the second link will be shared. You join in quickly. I'll give off a minute after the second link is shared for you to share it with whoever, you know, is supposed to be here and then join in again. Are you listening? It's part of the war. You see, Podbean doesn't want us to teach for 3 hours. So he says, no, what you are teaching is, we don't want to allow you. So I'm cutting you in 2 hours. You'll be cut from this. Please, we say, we are going to fight this. We are going to gather here. This is where we are going to gather. Are you listening? You cut us, we'll still come. Please, allow us, Podbean. So you prepare to hate all that stands against the gospel. Luke 14:26. Luke 14:26. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, my goodness, also, he cannot be my disciple. Maybe I'm the one that said it. Look, it's in red, oh. That means it's Jesus' words. I'm not the one, it's not me. I've not said anything. If you look at me and you think I've said something, I'm not the one saying it. Jesus is the one communicating this. Look. So one who is a student, so if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, right, and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Disciple is a word matheteo, right? So one who is a student from another, amen. And Jesus is saying to be able to follow, you must be able to hate. Now the word is not like you hate your parents. No, I wouldn't teach that. That's not what I'm teaching. It's the Greek word missio. It's the Greek word missio. It's M-I-S-E-O. It's the Greek word missio. It's M-I-S-E-O. Now, it actually means to love less. So, when we talk about hatred, we're not talking about like, I hate my parents. No, that's not what I'm teaching. I'll teach that. I teach you to honor love and respect. So it's missio. It means to love less. So Jesus is saying, if anyone come to me and does not love less his father and his mother and his wife and his children, his brothers, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So it's the word missio. It means to lowly esteem. So, you love, but you highly esteem following him than not following him. So, right? So, in missio, you're not going to be like hating. No, you're going to be loving less. It means the Lord is the one you love completely. He's the one that has your full love. Every other person, your father, including your mother, including your wife, your children, your brethren, your sisters. No. You love less. You love the Lord more. You love less. So, it's just to place in hierarchical order. So, you put things in its hierarchical form. You say, it is the Lord I love. It is the Lord I love. I love him more. There's a more love for the Lord. It's to hate. It's to missio. It's to love less. It's to lowly esteem. It's to be passive about. So, in your preparation for the gospel of in hard times is to stand against, to hate, again with a lot of caution. I'm not using the word hate as in hate, English hate. No, it's a Greek word missio. It means you're going to be loving less. Amen. So a second preparation of the gospel is be prepared for what? Hard times. Hard times. Say, I've had an application for 3 months. I've been expecting a job, but I've not got a job. This Jesus thing is fake. This Jesus, please endure. You see, whether no job, the job is has come. I'm waiting for a physical manifestation, but I have my job, but I'm still going to be following the Lord. Are you listening? Preparation you must make. So one of the first preparation you must make is what? To prepare for war, right? Second preparation, be prepared for hard times. Third preparation is actually where we as a ministry are in, is you must be prepared to build the ministry or to build the church. Build the ministry we have been given. We as a people, we need builders. And so we must be prepared to build. Make yourself ready to be a builder. Make yourself ready to be a builder. Make yourself ready to be relevant in the building of what we are building. You know, there are some people who are not making themselves very relevant in the building that we're building. Men, we need people discipling others. We need people at the music. We need people at ushering. We need people at counseling. We need people at car parks. We need people in the schools. We need givers ceaselessly, unrelentlessly. We need men as apostles. We need pastors as teachers. And we have all these things. So one of the preparations you must make in the gospel is that you are also making preparations to build. To build. To build. That's all in the gospel. So, you know, don't have excuses why you can't build. Make preparations to build. Be spent and spend on this course. Be ready to offer yourself when you are called. It's preparation for the gospel. We must make it. Oftentimes, you know, people like to join a ministry when there's an air conditioning. They're showing videos of their, cool place, lot of views. People of God, at the state we are in now, let me tell you, if you look around, you might not be a builder. And when we finally start building what God wants us to build, you see that you would have chased after things that you probably might not be happy you chased after. So, you make yourself available to build. I sometimes think about something. When I was in Tamale, I was in a church that had no tiles for many years. For over 5 years, I should think. 5 to 7 years or something. The last two years, we moved into a small building with tiles. But aside that, there was nothing. There was nothing. I think sometimes God sees our hearts in these little things. And he just says, okay, let me just, you know, bless this fellow. We didn't have microphones. For several years, I'm not talking about for just 6 months. We didn't have microphones for several years. And I was there. I was there. Today, we can have people who are this resolute on building. So in one of the preparation, the third actually you must make in this journey. Listen to me. These things I'm telling you, you just might not hear them at certain places. You know, to many, maybe what I'm even teaching you is nonsense. I mean, what's preparing for the gospel? Or was this hard time? We want money. It's not about gospel. We want money. Please teach us how to prosper. Prophesy prosperity. Prophesy, you know, increase. That's what we came for. This gospel, we don't even want to know this. But you make preparations to build. Are you listening? Be spent and spend on this cause. Haggai chapter 1 verse 8. You know, some will probably see one pastor who has a very nice shoe with very blinking suits. Say, yes! Yes, that's the pastor for all generations. Please, you are just covetous. That's all you are. That's what you want ministry for. And that's not to say I can buy this thing. I can buy them 10,000 times. I can look more dapper. No, but all these things, when I do them, I say, no, I want to teach these people something. Because the message is not just in the preaching. It's indeed as well. It's indeed. Some of you be here, I'll start using my yam very soon. I'll show you that it's possible. Many of the things, I'll show you that it's possible. Yeah, I'll show it to you that it's possible. It's possible. Very, very, very possible. Because we will not be defined by things. Are you listening? We're not going to be defined by things. When we come amongst our midst, I don't want anybody looking at somebody because the person is not having money. Please, we don't do that here. Are you listening? We don't have that here. No, when we come here, we are all the same. Everybody is the same. Whether the nice shirt, the nice, I'm not saying don't look good. Everybody, I'll teach on that even very soon. I'll give you reasons why you have to look good. Yeah, you need it. But that's not why we are here. Haggai chapter 1 verse 8. Haggai chapter 1 verse 8. We're still looking at making preparations to build. To build. To be someone that's highly involved with the ministry that we are in. I'm not talking, when I say the ministry, I'm not talking about some other ministry. I'm talking about ministry. This is ministry. What we're doing here is ministry. Do you understand? Yes. So Haggai chapter 1 verses 8. 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 He says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. Go up. So, but they are not tearing down. Don't be someone that tears down what we're striving to build. Right? Is you're making preparations to become a builder, somebody that is highly involved with the work of building. The Lord's making you a builder in Jesus' name. Yes, you will grow to become effective in the work of the ministry. So be prepared to build. That discipleship's going on. Be part of it. Don't just be somebody say, hey, this is what they are doing well. Oh, please, don't be that kind of a fellow. Get your hands to the debt. Pick up some woods. Fix in some blocks. Everything else, the mortar, then there's some who will be doing so many things while the building processes are still going on. And so you must be prepared to build. Are you listening? Be prepared to build. Be prepared to build. Be actively involved in what the ministry is doing. Don't be here today and tomorrow you're appearing here. I told you we're not going to have builders like that in this ministry. People who are not really sure. No, left to that, you should just stay where you are actually sure. that you are going to be building. But that anybody who's here is going to, are you listening? Make preparations for this. Make preparations for this. First Chronicles chapter 22 verse 5. First Chronicles chapter 22 verse 5. First Chronicles chapter 22 verse 5. You know, decision many of you have to take. Oftentimes, we'll be choosing to follow the Lord. And also, to choose to serve Him where He wants you to. The Lord has specific assignment for you at a specific place. Great man of God, and he was with a billionaire, you know, so, and this billionaire, okay, is the call still breaking? Is it breaking? Do I have my, okay, hold on, is it fine now? Is it fine now? Okay, fine. All right. So, there was a story I heard. Great man of God shared it, and that's to say that building, God needs you to be building in a certain place. He doesn't just need building everywhere. He said, today I'm in this place. Tomorrow I'm at here. Tomorrow I'm showing up at here. Tomorrow, oh, it's good to help so and so. That's not what God has called you to do. God's called you to be in a place. So, you know, this great man of God was with a billionaire, and a famous billionaire, actually. So while he was having this conversation with this billionaire, this billionaire was actually the billionaire of Dr. Yonggi Cho. So, you know, he was that billionaire that, you know, sponsored and helped in the work of the ministry, concerning anything Dr. Yonggi Cho wanted to do. I mean, anything he wanted to do, he was going to give into it and to sort it out completely. So while this great man of God was with the billionaire and talking to him, you know, talking to him, and, you know, the great man of God said, please, can you, whenever I share the story, I laugh, so that's fine. He says, can you help us also? You know, the man of God is a great man of God in another ministry, great man of God. So the billionaire was typing on his laptop, never looked into the eye of the man of God even, to just even please him. So he said, please, can you help? Can you help us also? And the billionaire said, I'll never help you. The man of God was shocked. He said, hey. And he said, he repeated again, just so he didn't hear. He said, I'll never help you. So the great man of God was quiet and was listening. So he switched off the conversation and then they started talking about something else again. So later on, he told him outright, he says, God had raised me to help Dr. Yonggi Cho. I'm called to help him. You know, so the man of God was very quiet. And then he said, from then on, he kept on texting him, checking up on him. They were good friends. They rode together. He said, this man never gave him even 5 cedis. So he said that to communicate something in that specificity of the call. In that specificity of the call. in that specificity of the call is that God pleases you in specific places, and your relevance only is in those specific places. If you complete that, you have completed all that God had called you to do. Now, this is the interesting thing that happened. He went on to share that, in fact, the day Cho died, a few days later, the man also died. The rich billionaire also died. Yeah. He says, the day Yonggi Cho died, a few days later, the rich billionaire who had that strong resolution of being called to your Dr. Yonggi Cho also died. So, God puts you in places. Right? He puts you in place. You might despise it. You might not even want to be in that place. Like Christ's family, you might say, no, no, no. These people are so Christ conscious and they are so extreme and they are so hard on serving the Lord and they are so about prayer and they are so, can't we do something else? Can we have this fun? But people of God, if you did 1,000 things elsewhere, it will not be compared to what God had called you to do at where He had planted you. That's the interesting thing. You can do 50,000 things elsewhere, and God will still tell you, you have not done what I wanted you to do. And that's why staying where He's planted you and staying in His plan for your life is very important. So you will make room. Are you listening? It's part of preparation for the gospel. Because if you are not at a place, you can't be relevant for the cause of the gospel. You might just think, oh, I'm doing my own. Before you realize, it has fickled out. You get tired by the way things are not moving well in your direction. You are wondering why, what is wrong. It's just because you didn't stay at where you were supposed to be. So oftentimes, you know, pastors have started ministries probably they shouldn't have started. Do you see that? Churches they shouldn't have built. And they would have done 10,000 times better. 10,000 times better if they were settled. So in this ministry, see, I'm teaching you. You see what I'm teaching you, eh? We need it at this point as a ministry, at this point as disciples, at this point as people who are giving to the call of God. We need this right now. Are you listening? So be prepared for this. Be prepared for this. Be prepared for this. That fellow who's laboring, stay. Don't get too jittery. And I'm going to be strong on this. I'm telling you, I'm going to be strong. You can be whoever. You can be whatever. You're not going to be part of this that we are building if I get to realize you are not stable. Yeah, there are some people, I'll just sign things for you. Official letters, I'll tell you, you are not relevant to the building here, so fine. Some building, go and build. Be prepared. Are you listening? Settle. Know where you're learning from. Know where you take God's word from. Stay in the place. It's preparations we have to make. He's saying, please, he's too strong. Please, why is he so strong? Because that's how we build. So, be prepared. Make preparations for war. Make preparations for war. Make preparations for hard times. Make preparations to be a builder. Fourth preparation you must make is that you must be prepared to seek the Lord. Be prepared. Be prepared. Say, now, hey, since I got married to my husband, I can't really, really pray like that. Oh, now I can't really even fast. Those times I used to go for choir rehearsals. But now you see, things have changed. Yeah, this marriage thing. You stand before God. Be prepared to seek the Lord. Are you listening? There will be opportunities to wait on God. Take those opportunities. Say, oh, please, you know, we are struggling too much. And I had to sleep with this gentleman. You know, please prepare for hard times. I've already told you, it's preparation for the gospel. You go to work, you realize your boss is making advances towards you. It's either your boss stops or you leave the place. There are no signings to whatever stands against your standing strong in the gospel. Are you listening to me? No negotiations. I was going to say, you could one day just time him, slap him and run out of the office. But that's not good. Don't do that. That was actually what was in my head, because maybe that's what I'll do, right? If I say it to you, you might not really listen. And I just might slap you and I'll find somewhere to park. That's the end. You won't see me again. I've resigned the job. No, but don't do that. Is that you will be strong. I was not saying that actually. That's not what I'm hoping to see. So, you are making preparations for the gospel. You must be prepared to seek the Lord. There'll be opportunities to wait on God, opportunities for prayer meetings, opportunities for retreats, opportunities for services. By God's special grace, we're going to have services, we're going to have retreats, we're going to have prayer meetings, we're going to have camps. Make ready and be there. Don't have excuses. Say, please. I have to visit my grandmother at the village. And by next week, I have to be at so and so. And by 2 days' time, please make preparations to seek the Lord, to follow the Lord. You know, be ready for special times in prayer. Be ready for special times in the study of the word. Be ready for special times in all these activities that cause you to grow spiritually. Make preparations for all these things. Not many stay in the ministry after a long while. Not many. Not many. But I pray for you. We will find you many, many years ahead of us still in this work of the ministry. I should be able to look around and say, see this fellow. He is now in Burundi. See so and so. He now has 12 churches in Canada. So and so. Oh, he has 2 churches and hundreds of sales in South Africa. Oh, it's not this person we even sent to, Zambia. He's doing so well. The church there is growing. It's multiplying every day. Those are the stories we must be able to tell of you. Say, see, so and so. See, she's been a blessing to the church. All over, this thing that's happening is happening because of her. See, so and so. We started with her. She's still in it. In fact, she has been dedicated at this cause since she was 22 years old. We should have such testimonies of you. We don't want to have testimonies of, Pastor, what God is doing with you. Wow, I'm so impressed. I never knew it would come this big and far. Say, where are you? Where are you? Are you still in the ministry? What are you doing? Say, Pastor, I'm not in ministry, but now, you know, I have businesses. Please, you have dropped your fighting weapons and you have already lost the battle. And so you will make preparations to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in hard times. Seek the Lord in easy times. Seek the Lord when it's smooth. Seek the Lord when it's rough. It's a constant preparation for the gospel. Remember, in preparing for the gospel, to prepare is to be solely determined, is to make room for, is to look out for the pros and cons, is to be fixed upright. You have made up your mind that this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give my heart to Him. I'm going to be walking on this course for the rest of my life. So these things I share with you, make preparations for them. Are you listening? Make preparations for them. Make preparations for broken hearts. Maybe the guy you are following says he doesn't like you any longer because you pray and because you are into the things. Make preparations. Seek your... It's one of those things. In seeking the Lord, make preparations for anything. Nobody should come and take God's place in your life. It's not possible. Do you understand? Make preparations for everything. I'm telling you, let me be honest. There is nobody here. You say, please, I'm going. We are not going to serve God with you again. I'll ask, is that okay? Is everything fine? What is happening? You are going. That's what you want to do. I'll try to talk to you, try to convince you to stay. Say, no, sir, I've already made up my mind. This is what I want to do. Okay. Okay. I've made preparations for people who want to leave. I've made preparations. That's why I'll be raising many people so that you will not be the only one. Do you understand? Yes, you won't be the only one. So now we'll have many other people doing the same thing that you are doing, and they will do it exactly or even better. So we are making preparations. As a leader, I look at pros, I look at cons, I look at things that can happen, things that can, I'm not blind as a leader. And by God's grace, I see too. It makes it worse. It makes it worse. Something happened today, interestingly. I saw that in a dream before I woke up. Make preparations. So we are going to be building. We are going to be building hard and strong. Are you listening to me? Yes, we are going to be building hard and strong. You must be prepared to preach faith preparation of the gospel. Be prepared to preach everywhere. Be prepared to preach. You must prepare to preach the gospel. It oftentimes will take years and years and years of doing the same thing to gain that mastery that you need in the call of the ministry. So be prepared. Be prepared to preach. Be prepared to be someone that preaches the gospel every time. It's a preparation you are making. Remember, what I'm teaching you is what you need. In fact, I think we'll have a camp on this. I said that as it slipped out of my mind, but I think I'll have to make certain highlighting statements on this. Yeah. So you must be prepared to preach. Are you listening? Don't go to a place and be timid. No, don't be timid. Don't be timid. Don't be somebody that's too timid. You say, please, we're afraid if we preach to so and so, they might not listen. Please, damn the consequences of having them not want to listen to you and preach regardless. So, make preparations to preach. Pre-learning, and by preaching, start preaching to someone, start teaching others, someone, start discipling someone, start preaching, start teaching, be taught, learn, read. Somebody being blessed by these things we need to make preparations for in the gospel. Are you being blessed? Is it changing your mind on something? Yeah. So look at it from every angle. You see, this is the path I've chosen. That's all. No arguments. How shall they hear without a preacher? So, obviously, men will have to hear the message of the gospel. And you make preparation for it. You preach. You give yourself, you say, I'm going to preach. And I'll preach. It's not difficult to preach. It's not difficult to preach. Just take what I've taught you and preach it the same way. And you'll be preaching. This thing I've taught you, if you are smart, as my student, you already make notes on it. You are going to teach the same thing, the same whatever, columns, the same explanations, the same highlight points. Going to teach, make preparations, prepare to preach, learn to preach is part of your preparation for the gospel. So a fifth preparation is they must prepare to preach the gospel. Not many want to preach the gospel. Many just want to be in church and they'll say, you know, I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you. If you love the Lord, you'll feed his sheep. So sometimes I think God must be a really amazing person. It's like knowing that you really don't love him, but he still has to listen to you. That's really amazing. Like, this girl doesn't love me. The things her pastor is telling her to preach, she's not doing it. But she comes to stand here and she say, I love you, Lord. Worship session, tears pouring down all the auditoriums. People are crying, ah, Lord, we love you. We will serve you. Played, I'll just say yes. It was hitting some strings in your heart. Say yes, yes, Lord. I'll just say yes. But when it now comes to that time to say yes, you have to say yes. Are you listening to me? Yes, it's just not a proclamation. It's indeed. So let's see your deed. In your deed, we know you've said yes. In your deed, we know you've said yes. In your deed, we are sure you've said yes. So prepare by learning and by preaching. Preach, prepare to preach. Are you listening to me? Everybody must be prepared to preach. Make preparations for the gospel. Prepare to lead prayer. Prepare. Because we'll call on you and say, come, lead in prayer. Prepare to pray. Prepare for the gospel. Make preparations to preach and to teach and to be involved in activities with the gospel. The sixth preparation you must make is to make preparation for your man of God. You see, the things I'm teaching you are needed for the journey. Make preparations for your man of God. There'll be opportunities to be that one person that maybe parts in the way. There'll be opportunities to serve. There'll be opportunities to honor. There'll be opportunities to love. Stay relentless. Are you listening? There's not two men of God. The moment I see people have two men of God, I take them, they are not serious. You can't have two men of God. That's not possible. I mean, I've grown from these things. Oh no. So I'm teaching you, imagine, I'm just teaching you right now some very important things. And then someone else is saying something totally different. I'm telling you, make preparations for hard times. Someone said, you will never struggle. You will never struggle. But there is a struggle in the gospel. Do you see that? There's a suffering in the gospel. So the moment you come in and you say, it's time to preach, you say, please, we don't suffer here. We don't suffer for the gospel here. Our gospel is just gospel. We preach the gospel. That's all. There's no suffering. We say, hey, let's go to Burundi. Or let's go to somewhere, Saboba. The mosquitoes are flying all over. I said, we don't suffer here. We don't suffer. Hey, you see, doctrines are different. So, over here, we have one man of God. It is I. All others are my disciples. All others are the people I teach. Yeah. There's only one leader. There was no man of God better than the man of God than Moses as a leader. Are you listening? Yes. So we know who our leader is. Say, he's trying to collect a man of Godism. No, I'm actually trying to see you fulfill God's plan. Are you listening? Yeah. So make preparations to make room for that leader. Any ministry that has a preparation and an advanced team is obviously going to do better. Do a lot better. Don't do a lot better. Be prepared to be valuable. Prepare to listen to. Be prepared to be instructed. Be prepared to be sent. Be prepared to be put in difficult tasks. Say, go and start a cell here. He says, say, please. Say, it's too difficult. This place I can't go. Please, you're not ready. You're not ready. You're not ready. Say, go here, go and start. Say, it's too far. It's too far. No. No. Are you listening? Be prepared to be rebuked. When you do something wrong and they tell, please, this thing, you didn't do it well. Just don't argue. Be one that follows and is prepared to follow all the time. All the time. Are you listening? All the time. Are you listening? All the time. Be resolute. I don't teach people to be divided. No. So, we are making preparations for the gospel. Are you listening? We are making preparations for the gospel. I'll just take over the points again, and then we'll look at our last and seventh thing that we need to prepare for the gospel. So number one is what? To be prepared for what? Number one, prepare for war, right? Okay. Number two, be prepared for what? Hard times. All right. Number three, be prepared for. Yeah. Building of the church. Be prepared to build. Be prepared for the building of the ministry. What's the other one? Be prepared to seek the Lord. Are you listening? Be prepared. Get up in the night and pray. It's part of this journey that you have chosen to be in the gospel. What's the other one? To preach. Be prepared in season, out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. Be a preacher. Make sure that you preach. You are quick to preach. You are quick to share the gospel. You are quick to have somebody filled in the Holy Ghost. You are quick to make a disciple. Be quick to preach. What's the other one? Make preparation for your man of God, right? So, you know who your teacher is. You're not confused. You're not confused. You're not confused. Oftentimes, I believe that very greatly. But you see, I'm young. And I've taught you to respect the elderly. I've taught you that very strongly. I've taught you that very strongly. But when you find out that people who think you are young, so they will not really respect what you say to them, they're not people you can trust. They wouldn't listen just because they feel it's quite a younger minister. Meanwhile, that's your teacher. You're looking at your teacher's age and say he's quite a younger. This person is quite older, so I'd rather. It is the young that become old. Let me tell you something about ministry. Oftentimes, men get better. And men will make mistakes. Men will do things that they probably shouldn't have done. Men will start preaching little revelations until they start getting into depths of it. Men will start flowing in the things of the Spirit step by step until they get into depths of it. Every man goes through this process. Every man. So you are an unfaithful student to not listen to your pastor because he is younger. You see? And that's why the people we can trust are people who are there when we were growing, are people who were there regardless of our mistakes, our boring sermons, they were still listening to it and saying, it's the best thing I've ever heard. It's the most wonderful thing I've ever received. Oh, what a blessing. I'm so blessed by this teaching. I'm so blessed by this sermon. Oh, I'm blessed by what you shared. It might not be any serious thing. But you see, God always blesses the people who are faithful and the people who keep at it. Yeah. Bishop Dark is a typical example. Very typical example. Says he talks as though he's preaching. He doesn't even have a preacher voice, is what they said about him. Persecutions are all over. But yesterday there was Bishop Saki. Do you see that? Following like he didn't know where he was going. There was Bishop Oboy. Strongly resilient. Excited about what they were learning. Those are people you can trust. Not people who think you know things. Okay, go to where you can think you know. But God always does it like that. That's how God always works. He always works. So I don't encourage. In this ministry, we are not going to encourage anybody who does not see entirely their pastor as their pastor. It's not about being young. And by God's special grace, God's used me to do amazing things. And he's going to still use me to do them in greater depths like never before. Yeah. We'll all be here. We'll see it. But you will get jittery. And you will get somewhere. And you will later look back and say, I should have been here. I should have been here. So, you see an elderly man of God, say, oh, my pastor is too small, so this, you are not serious. You are not. That's how, you know, I've told God this. You know, I'm trusting Him. I'm trusting God for this. I'm trusting God for this. That men who will come will be made into something that they never look like. You'll be shocked. I'm telling you. Listen to me. I'm saying you will be shocked. Today, I was actually thinking on teaching you on David's mighty men. Came in destitute, discontent, in debts. They call them actually the three D's. You know what it means to be in debt? The old people, they had to run away when people saw them. Destitute, they didn't have anything. They didn't have place. That's how they came in. But you know what happens? I have to say this. There was a man so skilled in battle that Bible says when he lifted up his spear, 800 men were down. When he threw the battle, Bible says 800 men suddenly will be down. Whenever he lifted up his head, 800 men were down. But before that, when he came in there, into the camp of David, he was destitute, discontent, he was in debt. He says whenever he fought through the army, when he lifts up his head, 800 men have been killed by a spear. I'm not talking about like a, by a spear. Like he thrashes it into them and 800 men are down. That was someone who was destitute, discontent, full of debt. He comes in and he's a dick man. There was another, I think it was Shammah or so. He says, the Bible says that he fought so hard that his hand clung to the sword. He could not take out his hand from the sword. That was how mighty those men had become. He fought so hard that he clung to the sword. His hand, it clung to the sword. He didn't take off his hand. It means that everything that he did was to slay down. That was what happened. There was another who killed a bear by his hands and a lion. But these were men who were destitute, discontented, and full in debt. So don't despise discipleship. This thing you are seeing like that, don't despise it. I'm telling you, don't despise it. Don't look down upon what we are doing here. Don't get jittery about other things happening in other places. Say, there's a program here, there's a program here, I'm going here, I'm doing this. I don't entertain those things. We are building, so now we're going to be very strong. When you see me do certain things, say, my pastor has become very strong. That's why he's doing this. So we're not really here. We're really here. Please. I see the Lord raising my amen. In the name of Jesus. Men who are seemingly weak, they'll become mighty and strong. Men who even seem like they stammer or they stutter in their words, they'll suddenly become great preachers for the Lord. And those who are already doing it will do it increasingly with tangible results. The results will be tangible. It's going to be evident in what you are doing. So, in making preparations for your man of God, you understand this. That's why I'm teaching on this. It's needed. Be ready to follow hard. Be present. You are making preparations for this. You are making preparations for this. So go and start a meeting here. So yes, sir. Say, I'm gone. And they say, hey, say, please, the people, they don't really listen like that, though. When you are even preaching to them, they say, you don't understand. Say, these people, they are stuff. Please, no. Remember, you are being made into a mighty man, right? And that's what you're going to experience. So be prepared. Are you listening? Be prepared. Be prepared to meet the Lord is the seventh and the last preparation you must make. Be prepared to meet the Lord. The last preparation you must make is be prepared to meet the Lord. That's you are making preparations lastly for eternity. You keep in view. It means that everything that sums up and that culminates your life, that brings together your life, be prepared. Be prepared for eternity. Look around you. Look at the labor you put into the work. Have a mind of standing before God and saying, this is what I did. This is what I did. This is what I achieved. This is the man I raised for you. These are the people I loved and I poured out myself into. Be prepared for eternity. You know, it's going to be a very funny thing and a sad incident if you are not prepared for eternity. Eternity is forever, just so you know, it's forever. So, the short 120 life you lived on earth here is still short, 120, if Jesus does not come. You'll be surprised, it's going to come very soon. 120, it will come right now. If Jesus doesn't come. You see that? So you have to make preparations for eternity. Don't just be all about money, whatever, opportunities. You remember? You don't remember the last time you prayed. You don't remember the last time you studied. You don't remember the last time you fast. Your disciples, they are in the bush. They are in the bush. They are somewhere. One is doing something here, doing something. You don't even know what's going on. You're not making preparations for eternity. Be prepared to make preparations for eternity. Are you listening to me? You say, this is what I do in relation to eternity. Yes, I have a good job. I'm working. Everything is fine. But I'm also going to be preparing for eternity. Be prepared for eternity. Be prepared for eternity. In making preparation for eternity, be prepared for losses. Are you listening to me? Be prepared for losses. You might not have every loved one living with you for the rest of the time you leave the earth. Make preparations for all of these things. Right? Be prepared for anything in this gospel. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Be prepared. Make preparations for this gospel. Be prepared. Say, oh, my mother and my father, you know, they are fighting. They are not together. I worry. I can't even love God for 5 years now. 5 years. 5 years. You have been worried about a decision your parents took. 5 years. Please, somebody's got to move on. You know, take your emotions, put them in the gospel. Are you listening? Say, oh, they are fighting again. Oh, that's how they are. As well, you encourage your siblings to. Don't see marriage as, what do you call it? I think I should have added the last one, marriage, but it's not in the gospel, so I won't add it. But don't see marriage as a, what do you call it? As what your parents experienced. So, be prepared. Are you listening? Right now, just thank God that you're becoming a prepared vessel. Thank God. Thank God. You are becoming a prepared. You are preparing yourself for the war that is ahead. You are preparing yourself for the hard times that you are making preparations for all the things that God has called you to do. Making preparations to build. Making preparations to stay serving the Lord. Make preparations. Say, Lord, I'm making preparations. From now, my heart is prepared in the right direction. From this teaching, my mind is made up. 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 I'm making preparations to seek the Lord. I'll not have excuses. I'll not have excuses. I'll not have excuses. I'm not going to have excuses. No. I am going to make preparations. And I'm making preparations. Yes. Yes. To seek the Lord in prayer. To seek the Lord all my life in fastings. I'm making preparations. Making preparations. Making preparations for the gospel of Jesus. Yes. I'm making preparations. My heart is prepared for this. I'm ready. I'm ready. I am ready for this. I'm 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 ready. I'm making preparations for my man God. I'm making preparations for this. I'm preparing to meet the Lord. I'm preparing to meet the Lord. I'm making preparations. I'm ready for this course. Ready for this call. Unrelentless. Undistracted. Yes, Lord. I'm making preparations. I'm making preparations. My heart's ready. My heart's ready. Not anything else would sway me out of this journey. Not marriage. Not children. Not opportunities. I'll have all of these, but they will not take away my attention for the gospel. I will be found in this. 50 years old, I'll be in this. I'll still be serving the Lord forever. I'll be serving the Lord forever. I'll be serving the Lord forever. In my church, wherever I am, I'm going to be serving the Lord forever. It's a relentless decision I've made to stay on this course forever. 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 Forever, forever. Prangalish, Brondo, Shevra Dabai, Prodomosta, Gravatalamande, Alivran Twalba, Shegrantena Makatano, Valigrash Totopar Bagatala Brandaba. Making preparations for hard times, times to abound, to abase. Making preparations to hate family, friends, siblings, sisters, to less esteem. I'm making preparations right there in my heart. It's the Lord. Nothing competing with His space in my life. I make preparations. I make preparations. I make preparations. I make preparations. I make preparations to keep my hands at the plow and never look back. I'll be moving forward, serving the Lord all the rest of my days. Yes, Lord. We say yes to your will. In Jesus' mighty name, make preparations. And lastly, I just want you to tell God this. That Lord, if you needed anyone, I know you need somebody, and I know you want someone to get on with your course. Lord, I'm here. Find some word for me. Let me be relevant in what you are doing in your plan. Let me be relevant in your plan. I don't know how. I don't know when. But Lord, help me to be relevant in your plan. Listen, I was just praying and the Lord said, this is the plan. This is the plan. So you will pray that God will help you to be relevant in this course. Not some other course. In this course. Because you see, there might be hard times. There might be wars. There might be casualties all around you, but you will choose to stay in this course and to stand in this course. Yes, you will choose to stay in this course and stand in this course. You will choose to stay in this course and to stand in this course. Your life is a life that's wholly giving to the Lord in the service of Him, in the gospel, 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 in the gospel. Yes, Lord, in the gospel, 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 in the gospel. Lord, what you are doing, Lord, please do with me. Hey, let me tell you, the prayer of consecration is different from the prayer of faith. So when I tell you to pray that God is going to use, don't say He is using you by force. No, it's a prayer of consecration. You are open to it and you are asking Him to. You are asking Him to. If He wanted anything else, He should use you for it. Tell Him that. Tell Him that, that you are open to it. You are open to it. He should find something for you. He should make you relevant in His plan. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. We're open. Lord, we're open. You're open. We're open. We're open. We're open. We're open. Whatever it is, it might seem little, but Lord, we are interested. We're interested. We're interested. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And so, Father, thank you for these awesome ones. Thank you for your word that's come to us. And thank you, Lord, that we're making preparations in the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that we're preparing for war. We're preparing for war. We're preparing for a battle of war. We're not laying down our swords. We're not putting down our backs. We're not laying down our shields. We're making preparations for war. Lord, we're making preparations for hard times. We're going to be full of faith in hard times. We're going to speak the word in hard times. We're going to be relentless in hard times. Lord, we're making preparations to build a church with our lives, with our substances, with our time, with everything that we have. We're ready. We're ready to have time for our disciples, ready to pray, ready to study, ready. We're making preparations, Lord Jesus. We're making preparations. Yes, to also build. We're making preparations. We're making preparations to seek you, Lord Jesus, to pray, to study, to fast. We're making preparations. Ceaseless and endless meetings of prayers and fastings and personal times in the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, we are. 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 We're making preparations to preach. And lastly, Lord, we're making preparations for your coming. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you for your grace that makes this possible. In Jesus' name we have prayed with all of our hearts knitted together in thanksgiving. Amen. Were you blessed?